Blog Talk Radio.
In the dead of night, when thine winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled by the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight? Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, Cave Head Emptor, ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knott.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, and mes enfants. Welcome to another edition
of The Night Zone.
I am your host, Colin Knight. Welcome to a special edition of The Night Zone. Tonight, we bring you cosmic conspiracies from the United Kingdom. Due to the time difference between continents, this show has been pre-taped. When we come back, cosmic conspiracies live from the UK right after this.
You are in The Night Zone on Blog Talk. Radio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And indeed, good evening and welcome to the Night Zone. It's Tuesday, September the 1st, 2009, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, actually 10:03 Eastern Time. Tonight we do bring you cosmic conspiracies from the United Kingdom. We taped them yesterday in the early afternoon from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, but we received all kinds of strange anomalies as we did it. We'll get into that in a little while. A few housekeeping stories for you tonight. Remember a couple of weeks ago, the media were sniggering that Ben Bernanke, the U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman, was a subject of identity theft? I wonder if your identity theft would have been solved as quickly as Miami, Florida are reporting. Federal agents have nabbed a woman who they say is involved in a sophisticated identity theft ring that claimed Federal Chairman Ben Bernanke among its victims. Shona Michelle Young was arrested at the airport villas near Miami International Airport on Monday. She is one of 22 people who now face charges in a wide range of fraud rings. The prosecutors said that they netted more than $2.1 million during their crime spree. The people behind the scheme obtained the victim's information by a variety of methods, ranging from corrupt employees at professional offices to stealing mail and even picking pockets, according to an affidavit filed in the case. Investigators said George Lee Reed, the man charged in connection with defrauding Bernanke, told them that he had netted as much as $50,000 a day in similar schemes. According to the federal agent's affidavit, all of this has been pretty well accepted as truth by those that are charged. The man accused of leading the ring, Clyde Bighead Gray, you got to love these names, huh? Clyde Bighead Gray pleaded guilty in July and faces up to 30 years in prison, according to federal prosecutors. Two defendants have already pleaded guilty, and three, including Reed, remain at large, according to the Justice Department. I mean, how crazy is this? How crazy is this? You have to be very, very careful of your personal privacy, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get to cosmic conspiracies, I want to make sure that everybody is focused. You know, make sure you check your credit file that no bogus information has got on there. Keep your credit file tuned as much as you would keep a vehicle tuned. And that's about the best way to practice expanding your credit files, is by keeping them tuned. Check to make sure there's no erroneous information on there, and make sure somebody isn't using your credit worthiness to make do with some pretty hefty bills that might come back. And they won't bite at you, but they're going to cause you discomfort until you prove that it wasn't you. So tune up your credit file. Keep your checkbook and your credit cards and your driving license and your car insurance. Keep them protected and keep them safe. Because these people, if they can screw over Ben Bernanke and his wife, you and I are going to be a piece of cake. So, you know, something to bear in mind. As we look around the world tonight at all the destructive forces that are being exerted on society, as we watch as pieces of society fall into urban and social decay, we look at the murder rates and the violent crimes and the juvenile arrest and the mass murders. Could it all be a cosmic force? Is it a vibrational thing? Are we genetically disposed to act in a manner that we do as we get closer to 2012 or as the poles decide to shift? Is this part of our man-made nature to be on a destructive course? It takes a story like the next one to kind of ground us and realize how inconsequential our social system is in the grand scheme of things. Out of Los Angeles, firefighters set back fires and remove brush with bulldozers across a huge swath of Southern California forest to try to contain a 190-square-mile wildfire that has destroyed 53 homes and threatened thousands more in the foothill suburbs. This thing is massive. Some 3,600 firefighters and aircraft are working across a 50-mile span to battle this blaze. There's about a 20% chance that there will be thunderstorms in the area, and the only thing that's really saved them from a total burnout is the fact that the winds have not picked up. But they do anticipate, with upcoming storms and the forefront of Yamina, that there may be some winds are coming. So about 2,000 people were chased from their homes in a triple-digit heat, as Firebus said it could take weeks to contain the fire. This is a 340-acre blaze that wiped out an entire cul-de-sac, leaving smoldering ruins. It's amazing, these fires, how much power they have and what the power is capable of producing against man's will. We think that we are the most intelligent species on Earth, and yet when we look at Mother Nature, we realize just how powerless we are. So, as I said at the beginning of the show, due to the time difference between the continents and the strange interruptions that we get in our service when we attempt these type of shows, we decided to pre-tape the show. As you will hear, even when taped over the internet, we were being assaulted by some kind of bandwidth raiders. Eventually, we were silenced about 40 minutes into the discussion. And just when we were about to talk about astronauts on the moon with no backpacks. Of course, we're going to reschedule cosmic conspiracies. But until then, let's hear about cosmic conspiracies as far as we got.
It goes without fail whenever we pre-announce that we are going to talk about UFOs and the paranormal. Never fails that we have a cataclysmic event that prevents us from going to air on time or live. Today, tonight, we are pre-recording this show to avoid that situation, but they got us. They got us good. The Cosmic Conspiracy Research Team is with us, consisting of Dave and Martin, and Andy, the third person, our writer, is unavailable tonight. But Dave and Martin, welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone, gentlemen.
Hi, Colin. Thanks for inviting us onto the show.
We appreciate you being here. Martin, let's do a little background before we get into the meat of the show. One of our scouts came across your website in the UK. Actually, we were doing some background on some crop circle shows, I believe. The Cosmic Research Team popped up. The information you have on there is pretty darn impressive.
Yes, we've been doing the website since 1999. After a sight of a solid structure flying over our own town of Gloucestershire in England. We've all had an interest in the paranormal, UFOs, Bigfoot, Yeti, you name it, we got interested in it really. But as soon as we saw that, that sparked our attention to start up a website and spread the word to like-minded people, really.
And that's what it's about, is getting the information out. And we say that on the Night Zone on a constant basis, that it doesn't matter what the vehicle is, as long as the information somehow gets out there. And I got to tell you, your website had a number of stories on there that got our attention. The UK UFO sightings that have doubled in a single year. We've experienced that same kind of phenomena. And what do you think that's all about?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I've been looking at the UK sightings for this month alone, and we've had over 150 sightings so far this month of August. So it's really upped in the last, you know, several months for some reason. Most of the sightings seem to be of like orange balls of light, which lots of people are saying are the Chinese lanterns.
Right.
But also, a lot of them are very much larger than Chinese lanterns, like balloon size. They're doing like incredible maneuvers or going along the sky, then reappearing about where they started from.
Right. It's pretty clear that something's out there that we really don't have a grasp on. Our limited scientific abilities to understand what we are seeing is hampering us. There's no doubt about it. There's one story on your site about the UFOs over Parliament that caught my attention, because similar sightings have been seen in Parliament in Ottawa, Canada. When we come back, we'll have more of Cosmic Conspiracies right after this.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, King Hit Emtor.
Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone.
In the darkness of the Night Zone, we examine the works of Nostradamus through the eyes of John Hoag from HoagProphecy.com.
Of the Nostradamus prophecy of the Antichrist, decoded by John Hoag, codenamed
Mabus.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, with John Hoag.
I'm Colin Knight, your guide.
Please don't say it.
John Hoag, HoagProphecy.com, in the Night Zone archives. Check the Night Zone website on LoveZoneRadio.com. This is a pre-recorded show. Please do not call. You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Your host, Colin Knight.
Ah, yes, and you are in the Night Zone with Colin Knight. We are live September the 1st, live tape, something like that. As you hear my voice, we are here, and we're ready to do the show and following through on the cosmic conspiracies. So as you could hear, the audio was a challenge, yet we could hear each other crystal clear. Whenever we do a show of this value, it seems that the powers that be seem to do everything possible to make the information difficult to process. But, you know, just like a trooper, we never give up, and we forge ahead.
And the difficulty of a pre-recorded show, of course, is that when this show does go to air Tuesday, September the 1st, there will be people calling in, and we do apologize, but the time zone difference just makes everything easy to get this information out there to the North American public. Martin, the one story out there that just really tweaked my memory banks from childhood was a story from February 2008, where a UFO the size of a 747 was reported above Leeds, West Yorkshire. I'm from that part of the country, and I remember as a kid, we drove past a place called Farnborough, and my dad said, look at the golf balls, and there was these gigantic golf balls in the middle of a field, and we drove through. It was called Farnborough. I later found out that it is a high security facility, an eavesdropping facility, if you will. Ultra secret base, obviously not so secret now, but in its day it was an ultra secret base, and they were forever seeing things over in that region.
Yeah, there's quite a few bases like that in England. There's one down in Cornwall. Here in Gloucestershire, we're about 4 miles away from GCHQ, which is like the main listening base for America and England. They do stuff like intercept telephone calls and emails and everything like that.
very much like Echelon, if you will.
Yes, they do Echelon, that's correct.
Now, looking at your site, you know, you could go a million directions. There is enough information there for anybody that may have a tweak or a thought or an understanding of what's happening to this world. The one that got me was the NASA and the monolith on the moon going around Mars. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, what's surprising about that is that Buzz Aldrin actually released that information on YouTube, some program I was watching, and he actually released that himself, which was quite astonishing.
Yeah.
We run the story, but what we find quite incredible, as she said, it could be natural phenomena. What doesn't make sense is that it's actually away from any other rock formation or cropping of rock. It's just sort of out on its own in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it definitely looks ominous that something is going on. Now, I mean, we have to accept that if we are the most intelligent species in the universe, then we are most sincerely in trouble. I mean, we really don't have a complete grasp on our own planet, never mind the universe that surrounds it.
Talking of monoliths, today actually I've come up with some more new information, actually.
Excellent. I tell you what, while you're doing that, I'll give you about 49 seconds. We'll jump to a quickie here, and then we'll be right on time as usual. So I'll jump to this.
Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. Locked your doors, are your windows secure? Are you alone? Welcome to the Night Zone. Your host, Colin Knight.
So as Martin was rummaging about, getting ready to bring the breaking news regarding monoliths on other planets, it was clear that we were going to have challenges all down the line. We saw our bandwidth decreasing at an incredible rate, and suddenly there were pings and pongs coming from all over the place that made no sense. It was about this time that it became obvious that we had come under the watchful eye of some agency or another. It was quite clear that we had either ticked off or caused the interest in something that we are talking about. So with that said, going in into a third segment, I was very mindful of where we were heading, yet heading into the darkness of the Night Zone is what we do best.
One of the rings of Saturn is actually like a monolith on one of those. I'm not quite sure how it would work on one of the rings. We're just about to investigate that coming up.
You know, when you break it down into human understanding, if you will, it would make sense that if you were exploring a region, that you would leave some form of signal that region had been visited by you. When we went to the moon, the first thing that we planted was the flag. It makes common sense that whatever is out there would leave information. We may not understand it. It may not be for us. But the information may be out there that they have visited or they have surveyed the planet.
What's very interesting about this article, actually, it's the actual protruding monolith is over 2 kilometers long. So it's a very, very big structure, whatever it might be. It was actually photographed by Cassini.
Some time ago, then.
Yeah. It's only just sort of come to light. Well, today I managed to pick that up.
Right. Let me ask you this, Martin, and I know Dave is in the wings there, and we're going to get to some information with Dave in just a little while, but let me ask you this. With all of the information that's piling in at any given time, how do you get to filter through this? Because I know this show we do once a week live, and it takes a week to put everything together to make it happen. So how on earth do you keep the information under control?
We have a couple of methods, really. If it's a major story and needs to be broke straight away, we will do it actually on the day we find the information. If it's something which, you know, is really interesting, we need to work on it a bit more, you know, do some other searches and contact different people, then we would leave it for as long as it needs to until we got all the proper information, rather than releasing and it'd be wrong information. We like to get the facts correct, you know.
Yeah.
But when we do an article, we don't just take it from our point of view. Oh, it's a craft, so it's a UFO. We always try and do all angles, so it's not just, you know,
right.
Just from what sort of.
Yeah, because we can get bogged down with our own sense of what something is. Validate the information, because you're putting it out on your site, so, you know, you're stepping behind it, that's for sure.
Well, that's right. That's like YouTube. You see, like, a lot of UFO video footage, but when you actually look at it, it's all photoshopped. And
yeah.
A lot of people are into hoaxes in this game, and they think they're going to fool you by sending you a photoshopped photo.
And
one over on you.
Exactly, and they're getting better and better, let's face it. There's a lot of programs out there that can do some amazing things with photographs. Conspiracy theories abound, and no longer can you take for granted the information that the regular media are spewing you. It just isn't there anymore. You have to go to the internet and sites such as yourself.
Fly by the comets, visit asteroids, visit the moon of Mars. There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? God put it there.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com.
Of course, that voice was Buzz Aldrin. The video is available on the Cosmic Conspiracy website, and it is quite easy to access and play with very little resistance. So you should check out the whole interview and the discussion that Buzz had very openly and very honestly. It's amazing that the mainstream media did not pick up on it, and this is not a new video. But, of course, the mainstream media had bigger fish to fry, and science and technology tends to take a back seat. So, as we began to beat on the mainstream media, further technical glitches began almost choking the service off the air. Our technician that was working online with us worked feverishly trying to keep the interview going, and he did an amazing job. I was very, very impressed with what they did.
The main news station for England is the BBC, and they've got a thing called a D-notice, which means they're not allowed to report anything to do with UFOs or anything like that. If it does get broken, it's usually very early in the morning, like 3 or 4 in the morning, where like one or two people might be listening. But
isn't that interesting? Wow.
It's made forgotten about, you know.
And so the D-notice, which used to be used, my understanding, if I remember right, the D-notice used to be used for national security. Royalty, I believe it was. I believe they used the D-notice on quite a number of occasions.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually what kept the lid on a lot of stuff that just doesn't happen nowadays because the internet is so prevalent. We can all Twitter our faces off with instant information, whereas at once upon a time, if they controlled the media, they controlled the masses.
That's right. That is the advantage with the internet. Anybody sees anything, it can be up on the site within a couple of minutes, really, and anybody can get the information out from anywhere around the world.
Right. So thinking about that, these stories and the information that comes in, do you ferret out the stories, or are the stories being sent to you as linkage, so to speak?
Well, both really. We research our own stuff, but through the site we get like 500 emails a day.
Right.
So it's a matter of reading through them all and seeing which is, you know, a genuine story or what is just made up.
Yeah.
Just a laugh. For example, we've got a phone number you can ring, but the number of hoax calls we get.
Oh, I can imagine, yes. Here at the Night Zone, we have a very elaborate system. I have a fella that basically contacts you and screens it up and gets you organized and then kicks it over to me once that they've to make sure that you are who you are, because there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And it's difficult, and I can imagine the emails that you get, because I know the emails that we get here at the Night Zone.
That's right, we usually find their right, say, this is the best UFO footage you will ever see, we want X amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It doesn't quite work like that.
Yeah.
Our site doesn't make any money at all, it's just...
Well, I know recently I have a young fellow from Nigeria who's some kind of a ministerial governor of some financial aid there, and he's trying to get £1 million out of his country and only wants my account number so he could transfer. I thought, what a nice fella.
Yeah, we get those every day, I'm afraid, but it's usually about 20 or 30 million.
Yeah. I mean, it's just bizarre.
In the bin.
I have a pretty good filter on them now, so I don't get so many as we used to. But here in the Night Zone, we're all about information, Martin. And even though I don't know whether I buy the NASA cover-up stuff, it is brilliant reading. It really is. And I think that's Dave's area, isn't it?
Yeah, Dave's into all the NASA and the airbrushing of stuff and things like that. If you'd like to talk to Dave,
sure.
That's his section.
Sure. Tell you what, while we're getting organized, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with Dave about the NASA cover-up and his investigative techniques.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone. In the darkness of the Night Zone, we examine the works of Nostradamus through the eyes of John Hogue from HogueProphecy.com.
Of the Nostradamus prophecy of the Antichrist, decoded by John Hogue, codenamed
Mabus.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, with John Hogue.
I'm Colin Knight, your guide.
Please don't say it.
John Hogue, HogueProphecy.com, in the Night Zone archives. Check the Night Zone website on LoveZoneRadio.com. This is a pre-recorded show. Please do not call. You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Your host, Colin Knight.
And it's almost a pre-recorded show. And as you've been listening to earlier in the evening, the show was recorded yesterday. Because of the nature of the show, we tried to keep it under wraps. But we got hit, and we got hit real good. And we had a great deal of difficulty with our audio and a number of other systems. But we did glean a number of issues out of the interview, enough to warrant rebooking Cosmic Conspiracies into another show that we will not advertise beforehand due to nefarious people maybe not wishing us as much well as we once thought. It has been long considered that the multimedia groups, the mainstream media, would be getting nervous at the power of the internet. We've seen that with the newspapers, and we've seen that with right-wing conservative news, and also with the chat rooms and the blogs. The internet has received a great deal of power, and continues to receive a great deal of power, because it is free and open.
And it seemed to us that the information that Cosmic Conspiracies was bringing to the Night Zone was important enough to cause the disruptions or the attempted disruptions that we had, which told me that this was a story worth listening to. So we continued with our interview with David. And remember, I am in communications with David in a secondary system that nobody was aware of because we were having technical problems. And that system was working like a charm. So you draw your own conclusions as to who were the nefarious beings. But the interview did continue.
Dave, good to see you. Good to hear you. Glad you could make it to the Night Zone, sir. NASA, like I was saying to Martin, I'm not fully sure whether I buy the cover-up story, but the reading, the information is scientifically fascinating.
Yeah, that's right. I've got a very popular article on the web. It's the most popular article, which is called The Apollo Hoax, on the website, and that's had over 2 million hits now. I wrote that originally in 2000, and since then, especially over the last year, I've gone back into the NASA archives, and people have contacted me with new information, and I am just about to update that article with a new five-part series,
right.
And some of the stuff which I've uncovered is, well... We're not you on the floor.
Yeah. Okay, well, in a nutshell, let's compress the story of NASA. Where, with all of the information that you have gathered over the years and all of the writing that you have done, how would you encapsulate the story? What would you say that NASA is guilty of or not guilty of?
Well, from research over the years, I would say that, first of all, I've got to say that I'm not necessarily saying that man didn't go to the moon, but I believe that the photographs and the film footage is bogus, which we see.
And why do you think they would have altered or replaced the footage? What would have been their reasoning?
Well, there's several reasons, really. Number one, obviously, it was during the Cold War, so they had to try and make the rest of the world believe, especially the Soviets, that they were more technically advanced. So the race was on, really. In fact, a lot of people don't know that when the Apollo 11 was landing, the Russians actually had a probe, I think it was a Luna 5, which hit the lunar surface as it was landing. And that actually made the surface ring for an hour and a half, which is another interesting thing to look into, to see if the moon is hollow. There's that also, obviously, you've got the Van Allen radiation belts, which would, in my opinion, would have completely wrecked the film footage and the photographs as it come back through space.
Okay.
And also...
And that's a good point. We've all, well, not nowadays, but in the past, I have experienced taking through rolls of film through an airport, and by the time I got home and had them developed, they were ruined because of the X-ray machines. So, yes,
yeah.
I can relate to that theory, but... We would hope that they would have thought about that and somehow shielded it in some manner, if that was possible. But the intensity of the radiation in the Van Allen belt is they say, is basically a death sentence.
That's right. Not only that, around about, I think it was 10 years before the Apollo mission started, the government actually, this is the U.S. government, did an operation called Operation Starfish Prime, where they sent a nuclear bomb up into space, and the effect of that was it actually caused a third radiation belt, which was a lot more toxic than the natural belts, which were discovered by Van Allen.
So the barriers from here to the moon would be a superhuman feat.
That's right. What you've got to take into consideration is that every space mission which has gone since the Apollo missions has gone no further than 400 miles up into space. They come nowhere near the radiation belts, and yet there are Russian cosmonauts who were saying that they are going blind from, you know, radiation, and they're thousands of miles away from the actual Van Allen radiation belts. And also they see a phenomenon which is called cosmic rays, which again is from radiation. But so you can imagine, if these guys actually went through the belts, I don't think many of them would be here to tell the tale today.
You think it was a lot of bravado because of the Cold War systems, or where do we stand with the moon mission? Because once again, it has been trumpeted as the next big thing for NASA.
And it was at this point things really started going downhill.
Boy, did they ever head downhill. Dave managed to get the information out, and to recap, NASA faked the moon landing. Russia made the moon ring like a bell for 90 minutes, supposedly as the moon lander was touching down, proving that the signal showed that NASA never actually landed when they said they did, that gamma rays destroy TV signals and videotape, and TV signals could not be broadcast at the values supposedly sent from the moon, even with relays from the orbiter. And 400 miles is the maximum that astronauts can go into space now, yet it's thousands of miles away from the Van Allen belt. And Dave believed it was faked due to the Cold War mentality. Now, at first, when I heard the stories and read the information on the Cosmic Conspiracies website, I again put tongue in cheek and thought of the conspiracy mentality regarding the various presidents and the likes, and Big Brother and what have you. But the more we do these shows, the more we realize that there are powers that are moving in nefarious circles that we may never be fully aware of. For whatever reasons. Now, the information that Dave is releasing, he gleaned from doing his research and released documents and released information. This isn't something that he threw together on a whim. This is a great deal of research. And if you go to the Cosmic Conspiracies website, you will see that they've got some grand stuff up there, some pro and some con. And we all know a con when we see one. So, you know, it's caveat emptor always when dealing with information of the paranormal and extraterrestrial and the likes. And these people are straight shooters. They're bringing it to you as they have heard it and as they have seen it and as they have explored it and researched it. These are not fly by nights. These people are in for the long haul. A website that's been up and running 10 years. Imagine the quality of information that website has.
What was interesting is a couple of weeks ago, obviously, we just celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landings. And during the John Glenn lectures at the Smithsonian Museum, a guy by the name of Christopher Kraft, who was ahead of the director of the Johnson Space Center at one time, during the Apollo missions, actually was talking about the Apollo 1 tragedy with the fire, and said, basically, completely damned the mission during that lecture, and said that the technicians didn't know what they were doing, and after the fire, they basically scrapped the lunar module and started again. So the lunar module, Apollo 1 fire, happened in January 1967. So what he's actually saying in reality is 18 months later, they managed to rebuild the lunar module and go to the moon within an 18-month time span. And in 2004, President Bush said that we would go back to the moon by 2020, which is a 16-year gap. So my big question is, why would it take twice as long from his announcement that we would go to the moon, 16 years when Kennedy said in 1961 that we would go to the moon?
Yeah.
The difference in the technology between now and then,
yes,
should be far more superior, so why would it take twice as long?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. Locked your doors, are your windows secure? Are you alone? Welcome to the Night Zone. Your host calling now.
And we are in the Night Zone with the Cosmic Conspiracy Team out of the United Kingdom, Dave and Martin. So, Dave, so NASA have been perpetrating a hoax as a political issue?
I think so, yes. If you look into the facts of the space race, Russia beat America in, I think, I've got the stats on their website somewhere, I think it's 38 out of the first 40-odd firsts in space. The Russians, you know, were the first to do it, like the first man, the first woman, the first dog. In fact, the first Russian woman in space spent more time in space than the whole Apollo astronauts put together up to that point.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com.
And it was right there and then that all heck broke loose and systems started shutting down and denial of services and multiple requests for information were banging into the system. So it was obvious that the powers that be did not like what Dave was trying to tell us. And it seemed like somewhere they pulled the plug. They pulled the plug on all of the communication systems, but they couldn't break the link that I had with Dave and Martin on Skype as my guests were in conference with me during the taping. Martin and Dave both agreed that this is a common issue in Britain. They believe that their services may have been monitored and could still be monitored. And many years ago, when in the dead of night I would listen to the master, Art Bell, and he would lose phones or signals or power, I never believed that I would be in the position to go through the same information and denial of information on the internet. There are some subjects that clearly remain sensitive, and those who monitor what we do on the cyberhighway, and believe me, they do monitor. They make decisions based upon content or collusion. Internet freedom is under attack daily. We see and read the stories of political maneuverings to control content of the internet. Clearly, it is in the best interest of mainstream media to prevent shows such as The Night Zone from airing, especially with political and scientific facts from well-known authors and investigators such as the Cosmic Conspiracy Research Team. These guys are the real deal. These are the guys who deal with the spooks all day. Check out the website. All you have to do is Google Cosmic Conspiracies. Cosmic Conspiracies. And the guys in the UK will give you information that will literally, literally make you say,
In this part of Lincolnshire, the skyline is dotted with huge wind turbines, but today one of them isn't turning. People who live nearby say that it was hit by a UFO.
I just suddenly saw this light appear in front of us, and it just seemed to whiz sort of across the sky towards the wind turbines.
Our people were there on Sunday. We had the manufacturer's team there the next day, and they've been crawling all over it and the turbine, looking at the damaged parts. And we shipped some parts off for some forensic testing to determine better, if we can, what the probable cause was. At the moment, we're left with no kind of firm favourite as to what has happened.
Despite searches of the area, that third blade is nowhere to be seen. And with official channels baffled, locals are drawing their own conclusions about what caused the mystery turbine mangling.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone. Have you locked your doors? Are your windows secured? Are you alone? Welcome to the Night Zone. Host Colin Knight.
And as we get closer to the Halloween season, I dread what kind of audio our people are going to dream up for this show. It seems that they're getting all ready for the spooky Halloween. So, ladies and gentlemen, over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure you're going to hear some of the music heading in that direction. You know, last month, David Baker was with us and surprised me on the air with information about my very own spirit. Yep, David informed me very casually that I had a spirit around me. Well, listen to for yourself. Listen to this. We'll just cue this up. And he did get me. I wasn't prepared for his statements. And it was clear that without any preparation, I wasn't prepared to dive into the pool, so to speak. So we did not investigate the issue in depth. And maybe we should have taken it on at that time. But we had other fish to fry. So on the 25th of this month, David Baker will return. And he will be bringing his abilities and taking live phone calls. And we'll get to the bottom of this spirit that keeps flashing around me, because I don't quite know what that's all about.
Welcome to the shadow. Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone. Have you Lock your doors. Are your windows secured? Are you alone? Welcome to the Night Zone. Your host, Colin Knight.
And next week, we're going to have a 90-minute special. Kicking us off next week will be author Richard Phillips. He'll open the show. Richard has spent over 30 years developing aerospace software for the U.S. government. And during this time, he was exposed to many classified projects for developing aircraft and flight system technologies. He draws his experience on his first book in the Row Agenda series. And Richard will be with us for the first 45 minutes of the show to discuss his latest work, The Second Ship. And we shall tap his vast knowledge, of course, for those magical Night Zone questions. Our second guest for the night is Grant Cameron from presidentialufo.com. We'll discover what the presidents knew and when. So that's Tuesday, September the 8th, 2009, at 10 p.m. Eastern Live. Make sure you check in for that one, because that's going to be a back-to-back show, 45 minutes per guest, and very few commercials. So you make sure you check it out. There's lots of information coming down the pike. A few weeks ago, we had the SJGR investigation team with us. In that team was our old friend Eileen Smith, the Recce Master, whom we've been trying to get on the air for over a year. Well, we finally succeeded. Eileen Smith on Tuesday, September the 15th, 2009, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Eileen's going to help us through techniques that help Eileen during her ghost hunting expeditions, and what keeps her balanced and keeps her centered. And closing out September, on Tuesday, September the 29th, 2009, we have the Master of Planet X Forecast. Of course, Marshall Masters. We have a packed month for September. And tonight, while I remember, as we go to air, a show on American Spike TV, What Will You Do When Disaster Strikes? Spike TV's new original series, it's called Surviving Disaster, led by Navy SEAL Cade Courtley. Now that's an American name, Cade Courtley. Vividly takes viewers through the catastrophic scenarios and arms them with the knowledge needed to survive the unthinkable. A great-looking show where the trailers and the promos look absolutely amazing, and they take average people through a cataclysmic scenario, both natural disaster and man-made disasters, exactly how and where you will be able to survive. So you don't want to miss information like this. This is free. It's on Spike TV. This could save your life. So go to your dials, go to your TV guides, and look for Spike TV Surviving Disaster, and have a look at that, because it's important stuff, people. We cannot do without it. We must have knowledge.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, Javier Dentor,
welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone. In the darkness of the Night Zone, we examine the works of Nostradamus through the eyes of John Hogue from HogueProphecy.com.
The of the Nostradamus prophecy of the Antichrist, decoded by John Hoag, codenamed
Mabus.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, with John Hoag.
I'm calling that your guide. John Hoag, HoagProphecy.com, in the Night Zone Archives. Check the Night Zone website on HoagZoneRadio.com. This is a pre-recorded show. Please seek alcohol. You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. Your host, Colin Knight.
Pre-recorded all at the same time. We've just aired part of an interview that we had with the Cosmic Conspiracy Gang, the research team from the United Kingdom, which was taped at an earlier time, with all kinds of technical glitches and problems, which caused a very difficult interview. But we invite you to go back onto the show when it archives in the next 45 minutes. And catch the beginning of the show so you can fully understand the story. But as we begin to look towards the end of the show, Cape Canaveral, a couple of astronauts have stepped out on a spacewalk at the International Space Station. The first spacewalk of the mission got underway this evening, shortly after the space station got a brand new $5 million treadmill. The treadmill, of course, is named after TV comedian Stephen Colbert, who was out of the country Tuesday, but he said through his New York publicist that he is proud his treadmill would be used, quote, to help trim down those famously fat astronauts, unquote. Spacewalkers Nicole Stott and Danny Withers will remove an old ammonia tank from the space station. A new fully loaded tank will be installed during another spacewalk on Thursday as part of the cooling system. In all, three spacewalks are planned during Suttle's Discovery's visit. And Mexico, Los Cabos, one of the greatest places to go on vacation. Heavy winds, battering waves, and bands of intense rain pummeled residents and tourists in the vacation resort as Hurricane Yamina, one of the largest hurricanes this year, neared the coast on Tuesday. Weather patterns are changing, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know why. We don't have an answer, but they are changing. Are they changing for the good or for the bad? Is it man that has caused the changes? Or is it a natural cycle that we really have not got into the groove about? Is it possible that everything that is happening because of a natural cycle that we are not aware of? Or is it that this cycle is being affected by whatever they claim is coming in for 2012? Well, whether you believe the stories of 2012, whether you believe the Planet X stories of 2012, you have to pay attention to those that have been in space and what they have to say, such as Mitchell and Buzz Aldrin.
There's not much question at all, but there's life throughout the universe. We're not alone in the universe at all. No, for sure we're not alone. Now, have we been able to identify for sure where the other planets are? No, we have not. Certainly not in our solar system. But they've identified quite a number of planets now that very likely could be life-bearing planets. I happen to be privileged enough to have been on the fact that we have been visited on this planet, and the UFO phenomenon is real, although it's been covered up by our governments for quite a long time.
And I mean, it just doesn't get any plainer than that, does it? Ladies and gentlemen, we are heading into the final couple of minutes of the show. We do appreciate you being with us tonight. I do want to remind you that the end of life is not necessarily the end of existence. There may be more to it than we know. And what we understand about the universe is minuscule in the cosmic life of things. Check out Cosmic Conspiracies, and we'll catch you next week. Hey, guys, got a minute? I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. But for the grace of God go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. And it doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show them. God bless you all. Good night.